Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, welcome once again. This is Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And you are listening to The Quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, we do something a little different. After coming back from another one of our unplanned hiatuses, we talk about really what's been going on in the world of entertainment, really our culture at large, with the Me Too movement, and Time Is Up, and just give a little bit of our take on that. We won't be doing any kind of check-in with Brian on his latest films that he's seen or top five, so you'll have to come back next episode for that again. We should probably also say at the beginning, Brian, we do this with trying to tread very lightly, because obviously we're two dudes talking about an issue that affects women, and so we don't want to do any kind of mansplaining or make it seem like our perspectives are authoritative, but it does seem like something that we should discuss on a podcast is essentially about movies and movie makers and all that sort of thing. So let's start just by saying, what in any way have these truths coming to light, what way have they impacted you as a consumer of this media? How has it changed some of the ways that you've been watching movies lately?
Well, I mean, we got a taste of what was to come, sadly, about 3 or 4 years ago when the Bill Cosby allegations came out. And I think all of us, especially individuals who are mine and your age, who grew up on Thursdays watching the Cosby Show, you know, all of a sudden we grappled with, man, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, well, I have some fond memories. Now, are those memories, am I wrong for thinking about, you know, so, and now it's only amplified, but I think we started to grapple with it, with that. Like, what do you do when someone who you have really strong, fond memories of turns out to be a complete dick? How does it affect you? Should it affect you?
Yeah, and we should probably say, too, that whatever effect it has on us, not nearly as the effect,
no,
obviously, it has on us, on the victims in these situations.
It's sad. I mean, we do need to say that, but it's sad that we need to say that. You know, it's sad that we can't go understood, that we're not really hurt, but at the same time, it's a larger cultural issue about how do we respond when it seems, now it's to the point where it feels like every fond memory you have is going to be tainted in some way. And some of this has to do with maybe we shouldn't put people who entertain us for 30 minutes on a television, you know, show on a pedestal, but, you know, that shit may have sailed. But,
right.
But, you know, that's part of the problem, is that we worship people for things that we should not be worshiping them for.
Right. I have been most taken aback at the speed of which, in some cases, it feels like allegations have come out. Again, from my vantage point, for victims, it probably is coming in some ways, for some, too little, too late.
Way too late.
Yeah. But it seems like, you know, every time, you know, you turn around, there is some kind of new allegation. A new thing going on. You know, the most recent one, as we sit down to record this, that's really gotten a lot of attention lately, is this whole Aziz Ansari issue, dilemma situation. And it's a place where we've talked about this before and talked about recording this episode before, and even had kind of a recording that now is hopelessly outdated because of the new stuff that has come out just in a couple of weeks' time. But this thing with Ansari gets to a place that we actually have kind of talked about privately before, in that, you know, how do you handle also situations that are maybe not as clear cut as something with Harvey Weinstein? is, or even Woody Allen, although there's still some controversy there. You know, what do you do when obviously it's someone who was uncomfortable, but is it on the same level? Who are we to say if it's on the same level,
exactly,
given what somebody's kind of talking about? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that what I'm Sorry did, it was wrong. I mean, I think, you know, you shouldn't on a first, that kind of stuff should not in any way be expected to happen on a first date. But you know, look, we know from people we met in real life that one-night stands or cheap sexual encounters happen. And it's not a stretch to suggest they're going to happen just as frequently or more frequently with people that have some degree of fame or celebrity, and they're going to use that fame or celebrity to put themselves in situations. And did he take advantage of her? In a way, I want to say yes, but to compare him to what Harvey Weinstein did is to cheapen the victims of Harvey Weinstein, I think.
And it's also, I heard Samantha Bee on her TV show kind of take this on too, and what you said reminded me of that. You know, she said it also is kind of insulting to women in general to say that we can't make a distinction between what Harvey Weinstein did and what Aziz Ansari, how he conducted himself. And her point, I think her point was obviously there's a difference. Both of them are not great, but it doesn't mean that Ansari should be free of criticism or any of these folks should be free of criticism, but also she was sort of saying, like, you know, don't just assume because we're criticizing that we think that all of these monsters are equal, so to speak. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
And I think part of what I'm hesitant to be like an armchair psychologist, but you know, we're talking about it, and I think we do need to talk about these cultural issues. I think part of what happened with Aziz is, When 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, teenage boys, when they dream about being famous, one of the things they dream about is that fame is going to let them have lots of sex. And that is what they're dreaming about. And I think that's pretty universal. I mean, there are very few people that don't, when they say they want to be the star quarterback or they want to be an action movie star, they do want to be those things, but they also want to have access to beautiful women. And I think that's what Aziz is sort of like was living out, and I don't, you know, I don't want to delve into or speculate, but my assumption is that maybe when he was growing up in an awkward, you know, as a foreign-born person or foreign, not born, but foreign-looking person in South Carolina, growing up in the 80s and 90s, I'm sure he had a kind of an awkward adolescence. And so I'm thinking he was just doing some wish fulfillment, maybe. And not that that's good, and not that that's healthy or right, but I don't think he was intentionally trying to assault and attack women. To say that, I think, is very unfair to him.
Yeah. The other story that has been very recent, too, that takes, you know, again, a little bit of a different take is Allison Brie and being asked questions about her brother-in-law. So you saw that. What was your kind of feeling?
This was on the red carpet for the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and she was there for her work, I'm assuming for her work in Globe. And, you know, she's married to James's brother, Dave. And so James Franco is her brother.
By the way, I had no idea until I saw that headline that they were married.
They have only been married. I don't think they've been married more than 2 years. So she was asked about the recent wave of allegations about James Franco. Again, the stuff with James Franco is of a degree much worse than what Aziz did, because it seems that he took advantage of a position as a teacher and mentor in a way that Aziz did not. But it is still not at that level of what Harvey did, although it may have been James is relatively young in his career and maybe not having the power, so maybe on his way to becoming a Harvey Weinstein. The point we're talking about here is I don't think it's fair to, in that setting, to ask Allison Brie you know, she's there to celebrate and to talk about her work and to promote her work, you know, in a project of hers that has nothing to do with James. And to ask her a question, in essence, the only reason you're asking her for it is because you want to get her on camera saying her brother-in-law is an asshole. And that seems kind of gotcha journalism, and seems to cheapen what we're talking about in a way, and that's clearly done just for clickbait.
But at the same time, it underscores, I think, the complexity of this, which is, you know, it kind of stirs up questions of, well, why is this person protected in some way, and this person is not? And I agree, you know, on the surface, you know, there's a level of journalistic integrity that is not being followed in some decorum. You know, there's a time. Maybe there's a better time and place.
That's what I think. I think there's a better time. And I think, too, that that's the kind of question that I don't mind you pressing her. And I don't mind you getting her to give a firm answer. But I do think that doing it, you know, in a sort of like sneak attack way, or in a way, an ambush way, seems patently unfair and designed to either embarrass her or humiliate, you know, and that's not helpful to the conversation. I don't mind the questions. I mind the forum and the way in which it was done.
I like that. Helpful to the conversation. Some of the other things I think that haven't been maybe helpful to the conversation, maybe surrounding, you know, some of the folks offering some kind of protections. Sarah Silverman to me is an example of sort of trying to wrestle with this, but in a helpful way, where she said about Louis C.K., like, what do you do when someone you really care about and see as a friend has been accused of these horrible things? Like, it's tough. You still love that person. How do you do that? Whereas I think some of the things have been said about the Aziz Ansari case, some of the folks who've taken the female in that equation kind of the task, I think, is unhelpful. And then there's questions too of like those who maybe be defending Woody Allen. What do you think about some of those voices? Do you think that's as helpful to the conversation?
Well, to me, okay, one thing I think I've noticed Woody Allen thing is there seems to be somewhat of a generational divide about Woody. Scarlett Johansson has been very reluctant to come out again, but Alec Baldwin, I think, is because he identifies more with Woody. You know, if there were, and I don't know all the details of the case. I'm a layman and I know from afar, but it seems to me that there has only been one person, particularly one small child, which is Dylan, who has accused Woody of anything related to him and underage or him. And, you know, now, obviously, we have the evidence of he was 50-something, almost 60 years old, and dating the 18-year-old adopted daughter of his lover, which that's evidence. I mean, you can't dispute that. But him and Soon Yi have adopted a couple of children of their own, and child services in New York vetted them and looked at them to see no signs of abuse. And not to say that Dylan didn't have a traumatic experience, and not to say that she is a liar. I don't know. But I do know that for me, it's harder for me to convict somebody off a single allegation than it is somebody like Weinstein or Franco when you have five or six women. I gotta believe that. You know, I don't have a choice but to accept that. I don't think these women are getting together to kind of destroy somebody's career. But if it's one person, and especially when it's a person who was a child involved in a relationship that went really sour and was really publicly nasty between two people, again, I don't doubt that there was a lot of trauma going on there, and I don't doubt that something bad happened, but it's harder for me to say that I'm going to trust her 30-year memories of something that happened when she was four when there aren't other people that had those same experiences.
Or at least other folks who haven't come forward yet.
Exactly. And if they did, yes, obviously this should not have been allowed to happen, but it's just hard, and maybe it's wrong on me, but it's hard for me just go one-on-one, and you know what I'm saying?
There's a sense where, you know, there's some gray area. Could be, could not be, but it's, you know, you don't want to rush to judgment. And I think there's a human impulse there, and I don't think it's a way to say, you know, it's not the same as saying you could never do that.
I don't think Dylan is lying. I don't think that. I think that there was some incident that happened. Now, was it exactly as she describes it, or is it as innocent as he says it? I don't know. I just don't know.
Some of what our perspective is there do seem to be degrees of some sort. And I think we need to not make too many assumptions either way. We don't need to assume that folks who are bringing attention to this are doing it for all the same reasons, or that they necessarily expect certain things other than to be heard and listened to. And in some cases, yeah, folks to be prosecuted and have consequences for their action.
Sure.
But there may be also some ways when we need also not to assume necessarily that everybody is on the same level.
Let's also their
misdeeds.
One thing I hope, beyond the Time's Up and the Me Too movement and victims' voices being heard, one thing I hope that this spurs us to do is to have some real conversations, not just about men in power and how that impacts, and not, you know, all this kind of stuff, but just the basic way that men and women interact with each other, period. Right. Not even on level playing field, just the way men treat women, our expectations of what women are, the degree to which we sexualize every woman we meet, and that we need to, you know, there needs to be conversations, healthy conversations, about, you know, how much of that sex drive is natural and healthy and whatever, and how much of it is something that we have allowed to be turned into this monster, because... And a large part of it, part of the culture, is the fact that we have a multi-billion-dollar porn industry that thrives on the idea that women are objects for your gratification.
Right. Dave Chappelle in his Netflix specials, especially the last two that just came out, talks about a lot of these issues, and I think in some pretty thought-provoking ways. I don't think we really have time to get in to some of that, but there's a place.
The second one, and Dave Chappelle was a surprisingly thoughtful and articulate, ideas that I'm not hearing from a lot of other corners. I was very surprised.
I think it was in that one, and it was really maybe on. It was actually more on matters of race and talking about other issues that our country may be having, but talking about that, you know. Using the example of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, the healing over apartheid. And to me, you know, we need to have that kind of thing at some point on that very subject you're talking about, these issues of how we sexualize both men and women, and the culture and language that's been built up around. The system has to go on trial, the people.
And you're right. It isn't just women. I mean, there are men, but you know, particularly between men and women, we have turned it into every relationship between a man and a woman, for the most part, has some element, or we have some expectation that there's some sort of sexual subtext to that relationship, or I think a lot of people do, and it's just, you know, it's unhealthy. And it's we've got to figure out what the root causes are, because, you know, you're not gonna, I mean, because all we're gonna do right now is by calling out all these men is we're gonna shame them, and you're just gonna force it to go further underground. You know what I'm saying? You're just gonna encourage. I mean, predators aren't gonna see this. Say, I better not be a predator. They're gonna say, I better be a more careful predator.
You know, right, what I mean? And that was, I think, the other one of the thought provoking things from Chappelle, and talking about, you know, how you build allies and realizing that some allies are going to be imperfect, and that we're all trying to get better. But that's good. That's easy for us to say, because
easy.
You know, I've never been in a situation like that, and those who haven't have every right to their expression, and they also, I think, have the authority and the right to lead that conversation. So again, we're just offering some of our tidbits. Although I will say, someone needs to bust Casey Affleck for all the crap that came out. Somehow, he dodged all of this.
There's a couple of people that, like, okay, the story that broke right before last year's Oscars, about a month before, so about this time last year, about the sexual harassment that he had done on the set of his I'm Still Here. You know, in some ways, if that story breaks 7 months later, he's toast. You know, I mean, it's just, I think. And it's almost, you know, you look back on it now, you see individuals that had similar sort of sex scandal stories. Like, imagine if the Kobe Bryant story with the woman in Denver happened now. It'd be a completely different, we'd be talking about it completely differently, right?
I think so. Except,
what about Ben,
you know,
Roethlisberger? What about Ben
Roethlisberger? Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, everybody forgets that one too.
Completely different story.
But you also, you know, the other story, because you mentioned the porn industry. We also have a president and that industry together. But that's probably a whole other topic. I think this is probably a good place to stop. At least this kind of portion of the conversation.
We'll put the brakes on and we'll.
Yeah, just tap those. What a way to come back after not having recorded a little bit. And again, you know, real world jobs and life and those things have gotten in the way. But
as much as glamorous as this may look, we're not getting paid to do
that. That's right. So, but we thought this was important. Again, just conversation to have and share some thoughts on it, none authoritatively. You know, if you'd like to share also on Brian's blog, on Twitter at 10kmovies, TENK Movies, 10kmovies.com. Please do so. Feel free to do so. Contact us. Tell us what you think about some of this stuff. And just, you know, how it affects how you're trying to perceive the world in a different way. That's what film helps us do. And that's what even these conversations from our favorite actors and actresses and things like that. May help us do too. So next episode, we are actually going to go back to our typical format and talk about Oscar season and some of that. And some of these themes and ideas may again come up as we do that too. But we will catch you in our next episode. Until then, we hope your week's a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11. Be good to everybody, everyone.